The world is a complex place. Maybe that's why bumper stickers are so comforting. Slap one on your car and you get to advertise your chosen philosophy to hordes of people. The catch, you only get 8 or 9 words in which to do it. So they better count. Menlo School philosophy teacher Jack Bowen has made a study of bumper stickers. He writes about them in the book, If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. Bowen told Ann Strainchamps about how he got interested in bumper stickers.
It was actually a specific bumper sticker that I saw while I was teaching a segment on the death penalty in a class. And I saw it that morning when I was driving around actually getting my morning coffee. And it said, why do we kill people? To show people that killing people is wrong. And I actually started class by just writing that on the board and, of course, citing my source. And the kids just dove in and were like having these great discussions based on this sort of terse summary of a much deeper philosophical issue. And I realized, wow, there's really something to this. Like, they're not intimidated in any way. They feel welcomed. They can connect. And so that was sort of the springboard.
Yeah, it's interesting because we tend to think that bumper stickers, or I tend to think that bumper stickers are just these little kind of throwaway, slightly funny taglines people stick on their cars. But you're suggesting they can be like little cones, or they can have some deep philosophy embedded in them.
Well, yeah, I tend to agree with you on maybe on the face value of it. The other bumper sticker that I, you know, in tandem with the death penalty bumper sticker that sort of got things going was one that I threw out at a dinner party. And the bumper sticker is, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? And I actually, I do use this in my book, because what happened when I threw that out at the dinner party is all of a sudden everyone's doing, you know, what Emily Post tells us not to do, is talking about big ideas and the meaning and purpose of life at the dinner table. And I don't think that the person who put that sticker on their car was really making this value judgment about the hokey pokey being the meaning of life. Like, my guess is they're making a joke, or maybe they're poking fun at the whole meaning of life question. But in that sense, it gives us a real door to open and say, but what could the meaning of life be now that we've sort of got it on the table?
Well, so where did this conversation at the dinner party go about
exactly the way that I would hope that it would have gone is that someone did respond and they said, you know, yeah, it's funny, but isn't that kind of what life's all about to begin with? I mean, whatever your version of sort of, you know, shaking it all about. And, you know, someone else said, yeah, I mean, if we're not happy, if we're not pursuing happiness, then what is the meaning of it? And then someone responded, but wait a minute, there's got to be something more sort of intrinsically meaningful to life than just, you know, this shaking it all about. It really did generate a conversation that I don't think I could have done otherwise.
What's the best conversation you've ever had based on a bumper sticker?
I was at a book club two or three weeks ago. It was a group of women who had read the book, and they were local, and we had a really fun time talking. And one of the women said, you know, there was a bumper sticker that wasn't even in my book, but she and her son had read some of this book together, and they were out driving and they saw a bumper sticker that said, look busy, Jesus is coming. And she said, we had one of the best conversations we've ever had sort of about religion and about the way that the woman was saying, the way that I was raised. And he asked a question about, are they kind of making fun of religion, or are they saying we really should look like, but her point was that once you realize the potential that's sort of couched in these terse statements, it really does lead to the potential for a lot of great conversation.
You've boiled some bumper stickers down into some basic types, one of which is the if-then bumper sticker, you know, as in the famous, if you can read this, then you're too close. What do you think about that whole type of bumper sticker?
Well, I think most of the if-then bumper stickers are playful. You know, if you can read this, then you're within range and there's a bullseye, or, you know, it's written in Braille and says, if you can read this, then you're too close. And they typically are playful, but I sort of use that a little bit as a metaphor, as sort of an invitation. I mean, the if-then clause is very important in logic, which is a lot of what drives, you know, critical thinking. But it's sort of a playful invitation that, you know, if you can read this, then, and it's sort of like, that's what this book is, or maybe the bumper sticker culture in general and philosophy in general is, then you can come participate in this really big, exciting discussion. So I sort of use it as a metaphor for the invitation that bumper stickers are to doing philosophy.
You said the if-then clause is an important one in logic. Is there an actual philosophy to the if-then clause?
I don't know if I would call it like a philosophy per se. You know, logicians have these sort of, I call them annoying names. I actually kind of like them in sort of a Monty Python way. Modus ponens and modus tollens. And there are these logical laws that if the statements are true, then the conclusion must be true. So sort of if A happens, then B happens. A happens, therefore B happens. That's the logical law of modus ponens. But what's exciting about it is it's not only an invitation, but it's a way of discerning sort of deeper truths through this logical method. So I don't know if I'd say it's a philosophy in and of itself, but it certainly drives a lot of our thinking, whether or not we're cognizant of it.
Hmm. There's one type of bumper sticker that's almost universally ridiculed, and that's the I heart. You know, I heart New York, I heart Akron, Ohio, I heart Welsh corgis. Does philosophy explain at all what it is that's so irritating about those I heart bumper stickers?
The tact I took with that sticker was to actually look at sort of the philosophical foundations of love. And we can kind of go all the way back to Plato, who I think is nicely summarized by Owen Wilson in the movie Wedding Crashers, when he's flirting with the bridesmaid who's about to give a toast for her sister. And he quotes Plato, he paraphrases Plato, saying love is one soul's counterpart in another. And so we can look at love from that level, but also look at it from a really, like from an evolutionary standpoint and look at the pheromones that are involved and the notions of symmetry. I mean, Cate Blanchett has earned the moniker of our species' most symmetrical face, right? Mm-hmm. And this symmetry is really important to us. And all of the chemicals that go into creating the butterflies in the stomach and the, you know, endless thoughts of the beloved through epinephrine and norepinephrine and all of these things. So I avoided the potential annoyance of the I heart collection and looked more at these sort of deeper notions of love.
You have to admire the brevity of bumper stickers. There's a whole class of them in which people have boiled down, you know, large statements about belief into not even words, but just a little symbol. I'm thinking of the famous Christian fish. And then you've got a whole list of the variations on that. I had no idea there were so many.
Yeah, I finally had to just stop short because, well, clearly there are as many as there are, you know, supernatural beings. I think we're up to 1,023 religions as of a month ago. But it was really interesting not only to look at the history of the Christian fish, which is actually quite fascinating, sort of looking at, you know, the secret symbol used as an arrow and to avoid persecution early on. But then, as you mentioned, there have been a lot of parodies everywhere from, you know, like I said, putting your respective God's name in the middle to evolutionists sort of putting, you know, legs on the fish or writing the word Darwin in the middle. And then we've got like the science fish eating the Christian fish, and we've got dinosaurs eating the fish. And then there are a couple that I think, again, are either just a way of being funny or maybe to parody this whole issue where they put the word gefilte in the middle or end chips in the middle. It is, it's interesting. And that's the one, I'm always asked if I have a bumper sticker in my car, and I always say no, and I never have. And Uncle Dave, when I was on tour in Chicago, reminded me of his sister, my mother, who, when they gave me the old, that 1980 Volvo to drive back up to Stanford my junior year, my mom slapped a Christian fish on the back to help me meet a nice young woman.
How far back does that Christian fish symbol go?
Well, it goes all the way back. I mean, the first century is really, it was sort of an identifier to distinguish sort of Christians from others without being terribly outlandish so they could avoid persecution. So it relates to the son of the sea goddess Aphrodite, Ichthys. That's the sort of the name of the fish. And so that's where it gets its, pardon the term, its fishiness.
Do you have particular favorite bumper stickers?
Yeah, I've been forced to narrow this down because I started with this list of 2,200 and pared it down to about 160, which ended up in the book. So picking my favorite is a little bit like picking my favorite child. But if forced to pick, there are two that I like. One, I think, does serve a little bit as a foundation for what I think the virtue of philosophy. And it's, if ignorance is bliss, then why aren't more people happy?
Another if-then statement.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a deeper way of saying, well, you know, ignorance really isn't bliss. It might be bliss in the eating an ice cream cone sense of the term, but not in the deeper. The term that that I really like that Aristotle uses is flourishing. Like, it's ignorance is not bliss in the deeper sort of sense of flourishing. And I think that's one of the things that philosophy does. It's a sort of an antidote to ignorance.
So really, this bumper sticker poses a much deeper philosophical question.
I think it does. I think it poses a little bit of a way of life. It's sort of that, if we can use the movie The Matrix or The Truman Show, you know, kind of saying, do you want to be, you know, superficially blissful and ignorant, Or do you want to sort of delve deeper and realize that there may be things that you wish weren't so and may not be as superficially blissful, but you'll have that sort of that deeper sense of knowledge, which will allow for flourishing. So it is, it's a little bit of a sort of an epistemological commitment, I guess.
So I want to ask you about my current favorite bumper sticker, because I can't quite figure out why it delights me so much, but it's where are we going and why am I in this handbasket?
Ah, yes. I do enjoy that one myself, the, you know, hell in a handbasket. I mean, I certainly think there's just the pure rhetorical comedy of it. Anything where you're making the reader discover what's being said. If I say, imagine a bumper sticker that says, we're going to hell in a handbasket. And you think, oh, that poor person. And no, we're not. But instead, if they frame it in that way that forces you to become engaged, just like a good advertisement. I mean, like, you know, an advertisement doesn't say this hamburger is better. They let you know that bigger is better. And they say ours is 22% bigger than our competitors. And then you, the listener, have to say, oh, wait a minute, that means that their burger is better. So here it's I appreciate the rhetoric sort of forcing the listener or the reader in this case to say, wait a minute.
Jack Bowen teaches philosophy at the Menlo School in California. He's the author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. Anne Strainchance spoke with him.